Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, you know, if you don't want to call, you don't want to email, hey, just go on over to sportstimeradio.com, because being that it is Wednesday, the new blog went up this morning. So swing on over there and check that out, and you know, just pop by there occasionally, see what's going on. But you know, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give it a like while you're over there, well, we'd appreciate that. Don't forget the Twitter feed, which of course is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and I guess it helps if I do this before I say Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man with three.
Yeah, it helps if I bring you in before I start asking you questions and expect you to answer.
Oh, just a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it was weird because, like, I saw you pop up, and for some reason I just naturally thought you were there, and then, like, I just kind of drew a blank, so. All right, but anyways, you know, we've got the most important thing going on, Dan, of course, is that the Bulls are playing the Heat tonight. Oh, no, wait a minute. There is a little something else going on. So we have a game seven, and, you know, we missed you yesterday. You know, I didn't hear from you. I don't know what happened to the text or whatever, but I realized that you were a little tied up when I heard that you were the guy in Vegas who's picked all six games correctly. And now you've wagered all your winnings, which I've heard is either $13 or $14 million, on the Dodgers tonight. So I'm guessing you're pretty excited about that, huh?
I wish I was that guy.
So if I was that guy, I don't think I'd be betting all my money tonight. I would have probably just cashed out and ran away. But, you know, that was just me. I would love to know what his system is and how he managed to pick all six games right. And then the second thing I would love to know is what he's going to be like tonight, because I know if it was me, I don't think I could sit down, and I would probably be freaking out on every pitch. So, I just don't know. But at least we got back to some normal baseball last night. You know, the Dodgers picked up a 3-1 win. It was an actual baseball game. But, of course, when you don't play in a bandbox, you can have these kind of games when you get really good pitching. So I won't be surprised if we get another game like that tonight. But I have the lineups, Dan, and not much has changed. The Astros are going with George Springer leading off in center. Alex Bregman's batting second at third. Jose Altuve hits third and plays second. Carlos Correa is the cleanup man. He's at shortstop. Yuri Gurriel's at first base. He at fifth. Brian McCann is sixth doing the catching. Marwin Gonzalez is seventh in left field. Josh Reddick is eighth in right field. And, of course, the Astros are going with Lance McCullers Jr. as their pitcher. He'll hit ninth. In return, the Dodgers have Chris Taylor in center leading off. Corey Seager at short, batting second. Justin Turner hits third and plays third. Cody Bellinger's their cleanup guy. He's playing first base. Yasiel Puig is fifth in right field. Josh Peterson is sixth in left field. Logan Forsythe hits seventh for the Dodgers. He's at second base. Austin Barnes is eighth doing the catching. And Yu Darvish is hitting ninth for the Dodgers tonight. So no big changes, really. Were you maybe expecting something? Maybe we would see a guy pop up we weren't expecting? Or did you figure both teams would just kind of go with these lineups?
I figured they both go with these lineups. I was waiting for Cameron Maiden, though, weren't you?
Yeah, you know, I thought maybe we would see him against one of the lefties. I'm not surprised he's not in against Darvish. But, you know, Gonzalez has really done nothing. He's got the one home run, but he's only hitting a 143 in the series. And I don't think it would have hurt him if they would have given Maben a start against, be it Alex Wood or Rich Hill. So, you know, I was a little shocked there. I mean, I know like Cody Bellinger has really struggled, but you're not taking him out of your lineup. So, you know, that's just kind of how that goes. But, you know, Gonzalez, I know he's been good for the Astros all year, but yeah, you know, I mean, just, you know, a day off or, you know, maybe he fills in as, you know, a pinch hitter or something, but they're, you know, they're sticking with their lineup. I guess, you know, you can't argue they got this far, right?
Yeah, I would say the one thing that surprised me a little bit, or I don't know if you noticed this, but I pretty much watched every game, and the common denominator with the umpires is they've been going both ways. It, you know, it hasn't been one-sided. But the strike zone has definitely been expanded, especially on the outside.
Yeah, I heard, I can't remember who it was, I heard somebody complaining about that yesterday, one of the commentators, about how they didn't like the way the umpires were calling the games. And I'm like, man, the games are long enough as it is. Let them have a little bigger strike zone. So, you know, that's just
when you're coming from the hitter standpoint, there's a lot of strikeouts in this game, in this series, that should have been walked.
Yeah, but you know, with the way hitters are now, who's not saying they weren't going to strike out anyways? You know, I mean, let's face it. So,
yeah, but I mean, you know, we'll have to go back and reevaluate after tonight. There's a lot of looking strikeouts where you could tell that in their eyes they saw a ball, and I think the majority of us saw a ball too.
There were a couple of them last night that I kind of looked at, and I was kind of like, whoa, wait a minute, you know, that's a little rough there. But, you know, like you said, the important thing is they're calling it both ways. So, you know, it's not one side at all. And, you know, that's what really obviously is the most important thing there. So, you know, we'll have to, have to hope it stays that way tonight. Uh-oh. All right, we're just going to get one. There we go. All right, so I did see today, Dan, that as they describe them in the article, the ticket reseller StubHub, they're getting just under $1,800 for a ticket. $1,795 is the largest amount that is being paid for a ticket. Obviously, it's going to depend on, you know, where the seat is, but it was a little like this last year. You know, it was over $2,000 for a game 7 ticket to Cubs Indians. So are you, would you be buying one of these if you were in LA?
If I was in LA and I had the money, but I feel like if you live and work in LA, you've got the money, right?
Well, I don't know. It is pretty expensive to live there. So, yeah. You know, I'm not quite sure.
My house in LA is like $1 million house.
Yeah. You know, I mean, we'll have to ask Schomburg Stu, because, you know, his son does live out there. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's a, it's still, a, you know, and then I guess the other question is if you're the fan, why are you selling? Wouldn't you want to go to a game 7?
I mean, what has it been, like 20 years almost, approximately, since Oral Hershiser and the Dodgers were in the World Series?
Yeah, I was it 20 or 27 or, yeah, whatever. Yeah, it's been a little bit. Yeah, so, I mean, you wonder, if a lot of these people have seen it, right?
Yeah, but I guess if you might just be in looking to cash in more so than go to the game. I mean, you definitely enjoy the game at home with all the modern technology and luxury that we have today.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, a nice experience at home as I sit on the couch. And, of course, you know, it is L.A., so it's not like – could you imagine if last year's series was this year with the weather we've had? What is it today? It's 40 and raining. So that would have been a fantastic experience. But, you know, in L.A., I know they say it's going to be 70 and nice. So, you know, it's better than the 100-degree temperature they had. But, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, I mean, if you think about it, you know, say you've got, you've got four season tickets and you can get $1,800 a piece for them. You know, that's not a bad payday. And now you as the accounting major, you don't have to claim any of that on your taxes, right? They don't, you know, they don't hunt you down for that. They don't find if you sold your tickets or not.
I never thought of that one. I guess you'd have to look into Subhub to see if they generate reports.
Yeah, you know, oddly, on that kind of story, humorously, I had a scratch-off last year. My buddy gave me one for Christmas that I won $25 on, so I had to mail it in to get the money, and damn sure enough, I got a tax form from the state of Illinois for the $25 that I won. So I don't know if it applies for tickets, but, you know, it that's a nice little payday. I mean, you know, even if you only got a couple tickets, you're getting almost $4,000. So, you know, that's a nice little down payment on your next year's season tickets, I'm sure. So, just depending on, you know, you don't have to fight that damn LA traffic.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the other part of it is, you know, I'm sure to avoid having to pay the taxes or, you know, getting any revenue on it is the fact that a lot of times, you know, and I don't know about the Dodgers, I know that through the Cubs, you can post your season ticket from the Cubs website through the Subhub. You know, that way the money that you do get goes right back into your, what would you call it, your Cubs account, so your ticket account. And if that works, I mean, like you said, $3,672, you get $7,200 off of higher tickets. I don't know what the retail value is for, you know, the ticket holder. Well, let's just say you make $6,000 off of all four of them. You know, like you said, that's a great way to help pay for next year's season tickets.
Yeah. So now, you know, I did hear something kind of interesting, and in a way, I thought it was a little stupid. You know, like I heard today, and now Richard Justice reported this, and he's saying apparently the Dodgers' plan, and I just found this really weird, is Darvish is apparently going to work the first three innings. Then they want to go to Clayton Kershaw for 4, 5, and 6, Brandon Morrow for 7, and then Kenley Jansen for 8 and 9.
Whoa.
You know, Dan, I got to tell you, I think that's incredibly stupid because, you know, what if Darvish goes 9 up, 9 down? You hook him in that first at bat, you know, if he bats in the third inning, or, you know, I mean, if he's rolling, why the hell would you take him out? I mean, I know Kershaw's the best pitcher in baseball, but, you know, the Astros got to him last time. I don't understand why you would plan it out like that and go to make that move. I mean, don't you got to play it by ear? I mean, what if Darvish sucks in the first inning and you got to go get him?
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. I mean, if you're going to go with a plan, I'd rather go with Darvish through 4, you know, get the max out of him, especially if you're going to back it up with Kershaw for, you know, at least get through the 7 inning. Have Morrow for 8, you know, have Morrow, Cingrani, and Watson in the 8th inning if it need be, and then Kenley for the 9th.
Yeah, it seemed so weird listening to it. And I thought, you know, just imagine if, you know, say Darvish had just a fantastic game and he threw 6 innings of one-run baseball. Now you're set. You've got all your bullpen weapons and Clayton Kershaw for 3 innings. I just don't understand why you would pull the plug on a guy that's rolling. You know, I mean, I get that, you know, that's the new way in baseball, though. You know, you've got to immediately get rid of a guy because you got to get into your bullpen. And, you know, I mean, I know they were, you know, hailing the Dodgers bullpen because they did so well last night, but it was just a few games ago that they got lit up a couple games in a row. So I don't understand, you know, why the hell you would bail on a starter that, you know, that freaking early. It just, you know, it seems like these guys get carried away managing these games, and they don't really let the game come to them. They try to force the outcome, and, you know, like, Jansen's really been overused. I mean, how many times he's been asked to pitch multiple innings? You know, I mean, you know, he got roughed up in, was that game 5 or game 4?
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously he was great last night, but, you know, you know, I mean, we saw it last year, you know, Aroldis Chapman almost lost the World Series for the Cubs because he was so overused. I don't get this.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of the pitching comes from the dugout, too, and having the inexperienced Wilson Contreras, which I think really showed this year. But you've got to imagine the 1 year really made a difference for Chapman, because, you know, in this postseason versus the Astros, he wasn't throwing 100-plus in every game that he was in.
Yeah.
Which was pretty amazing to me compared to last year with the Cubs, because it was pretty much every pitch was 100-plus. So, and,
well,
until
the end there when he was.
Yeah. You know, even with Jensen, I mean, he's not a 100-plus guy, but everything's high 90s. And you can start to see when he's just kind of throwing it. So I don't really like him having to take on the 8th and 9th tonight. I'd rather find security in him coming in for the last batter in the 8th and then pulling it on the 9th. But it also depends on, you know, the bottom of the 8th and what the Dodgers do, because Smoltz and Buck kept bringing up the fact, and I'm sure you heard this last night, about the amount of time that Jensen was on the bench. And you've got to wonder, did that, obviously it worked, but does that really hurt the guy? Did they really cool down that much? Were they ineffective, or did it, you know, was it a positive as to the amount of usage he's been, that we've been, this Roberts has been getting out of him through this World Series?
Yeah, you know, it'll be interesting. I mean, of course, you know, on the Astros side, you know, Dallas Keuchel is available. If, you know, if there's any issue whatsoever, you know, I wouldn't be surprised, especially early in the game, you know, if he's up and, you know, in there right away, you know, if McCullers Jr. has any issues. So, it's going to be interesting to see how they kind of, you know, how they kind of juggle these guys and, you know, shuffle them around and see how they, you know, how they work things out with them. But yeah, it's been quite an interesting, I don't know, fiasco, or however you want to look at it, with the way they've, you know, they've tried to bounce these guys around. So I don't know. You know, I'm interested to see how it plays out, and, you know, who makes the first move, and, you know, all that other kind of fun stuff. But I just, you know, again, like I said, I found it so weird that, you know, it was kind of like, yeah, well, this is their plan. Well, why the hell do they have a plan? Well, you know, let's just let them go.
I don't think there's anything wrong with the plan. You know, you obviously want to have a game plan. I still, you know, Major League Baseball is still not an X's and O's kind of game. But, you know, I wouldn't be hard-nosed to stick to that plan. Like you said, let it come to you.
Yeah, it just, you know, it kind of seemed like, you know, that would be a, you know, a better way to, you know, kind of, you know, kind of let things play out. Just be like, hey, okay, you know, let's see how this goes. And, you know, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, Darvish lasted, what was it? It was 1 2/3 or something last time out. So, you know, maybe we shouldn't jump too, you know, too quickly on what we're doing with him or how we're handling it. But, you know, I was like, oh, okay, this is, this is what we're going to do. All right, here we go. You know, let's see how it works out. So.
Now, what were your thoughts last night after the game was over? A-Rod and everyone was completely baffled about McCullers out there throwing balls and warming up.
Yeah, you know, that was a bit of a shock, but I believe it was just a throw day for him anyways. So I don't think it's a really a huge deal or, you know, anything like that. You know, it just wasn't something, you know, we normally don't see. You know, it's one of those things that doesn't normally, you know, normally make television. So it was a bit of a surprise that it was like, oh, hey, what's this guy doing? But, yeah, I don't think it was, you know, was too big of a deal. You know, or who knows, you know, maybe he just had a little, you know, a little, you know, extra energy he wanted to work out. I mean, I didn't really see the session, but I'm guessing he didn't throw super hard. I'm sure he just loosened up, did.
Well, he was in the outfield doing,
yeah,
almost essentially a pregame warm-up, you know, where they're throwing the ball long.
Yeah, you know, maybe it was just something, you know, he normally does, you know, that we don't know about.
Well, I mean, I attribute it to the fact that he was supposed to be ready to go last night, if need be. And,
yeah,
you know, that mental energy, probably, you know, just more of a mind thing where, you know, he was ready to go, so he might as well do some warm-ups and kind of exercise that energy so he can get a good night's sleep.
Yeah, you know, that's true. I mean, you know, maybe he just, you know, get a little work in, so, you know, he'll be, you know, he can get his rest. Or, you know, again, like we said, you know, maybe it's something he's done all along that we don't know about. So, you know, I don't think it's too big of a deal. I mean, it's, but, you know, each guy kind of, you know, kind of has his own little setup, you know, especially with pitchers, every guy is a little different. So I don't think it was too big of a deal. I mean, did you really, really make anything out of it?
No, I just thought it was hilarious how, you know, the guys are watching him and just completely baffled and stuttering over it, asking each other about it, trying to figure out what was going on. I was almost at the point where, hey, A-Rod, why don't you just walk your heavy butt over there and ask him? Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Guys are excited. Oh. It's the World Series. He's going to be pitching in Game 7. Let him do his thing.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, again, it's just probably something, you know, he felt comfortable doing. So, hey, let's let him, you know, let him get his, you know, get his work in, or, you know, whatever he needs to get done, man. That's just kind of how it, you know, kind of how it goes. So, but yeah, you know, I wasn't too shocked by it or anything like that. You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see if it made a big effect. Maybe they'll bring it up 8,000 times today, huh?
Most likely. Here's the footage of Lance McCullers warming up last night.
You know, and well, you know what was really weird also, I don't know if you heard this, but, you know, last night when Gurriel came up to bat, I think it was his second at bat, Rich Hill stepped off the mound to give the fans time to boo him. And what I thought was really humorous was the guys who talked about it today, and it went on about three or four different shows, actually thought this had had an effect on Gurriel. And I don't know how you tell these guys this, but he couldn't have cared less what was going on there. I'm willing to bet he probably didn't even realize they were booing him because of the Yu Darvish thing. He probably just figured they were booing him because he was an Astro and it was the World Series. And I guarantee you, he did not air. And for some reason, and it was a couple of shows, I think it was three that I saw today, made a really big deal out of this, even Intentional Talk, and they normally don't end up in on stuff like this. You know, it's just kind of not their thing. It's more of a fun show. And yeah, it was just humorous that they really thought this made a difference. And I don't know what he did in the at bat. I don't remember off the top of my head, but are you surprised that these guys were kind of all over this? I mean, were they trying to make a statement or what? Oh, did you mute yourself or did you take in time to let people boo me? All right, what the heck happened to Dan? It says he's still there.
Yeah, I kind of muted myself.
There we go. Okay. So it is raining out, so you never know. But
I was, you know, going to say, I mean, when it comes down to it, I'm sure the guys who were really talking about it before Kevin Millar, which is kind of a surprise to me, is the fact that, you know, these guys probably haven't been in professional sports like that. Or you remember as in the wrestling ring, we didn't, yeah, you yelled at people and you got booed and you yelled back or whatever, but you did your match and 10, 15 minutes later, you came behind the curtain and someone goes, did you hear what someone said to you? And you're like, no, I don't remember.
Yeah, no, I had no idea. I used to get that all the time. Well, did you see this? No, I had my glasses off. I didn't see anything. What the hell are you talking about? So, yeah. But yeah, you know, that was, you know, to be fair, Millar didn't really say a whole too much about it. It was more a kind of a Chris Rose thing. But yeah, it was just like, you know, okay, we, you know, guy, you know, guys, you got to understand, he doesn't care. You know, that had actually, you know, maybe made the fans feel better, or, you know, they thought they were doing their part, but I guarantee you it didn't affect his at bat at all. So, you know, I guess good luck. I don't know what else to tell you. So.
Yeah, like you said, I don't care.
So, but yeah, you know, I wanted to get your take on this because I missed you yesterday, of course. You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, I don't know if you want to call them non-baseball fans or other kind of personalities weigh in on the fact that while he did draw a 5-game suspension, they didn't enact it immediately. Now, I understand exactly why they did it, and I believe they did the right thing. Are you on that side, or did you feel that they should have kicked him out right away?
It's one of those where, you know, if Manfred didn't come out right away and justify it, how could you, you know? So, to me, everyone who's a Dodgers fan, I think you wanted it to happen that day, you know, the next day, and to kind of eliminate him out of the World Series. But I don't know that it would have made that big of a difference. And I think you would have had majority of the people, baseball people, who would just kind of crap all over it for the rest of, you know, for all next year, especially if the Dodgers win it all and Gurriel was taken out. You would always have that talk. It would almost be like a Bartman issue.
Yeah.
How stupid is that sound?
So, and, you know, and I believe it was was it Dave Roberts who said it, where he said, or it might be, was it just one of the Dodger players, that there would be no asterisks. You know, the Dodgers were going to win the game, you know, fair and square, the series fair and square, and there would be no questions or no asterisks about them winning the game. And of course, if you had Gurriel sitting on the bench, well, you know, then it might be a little bit different, because you know, he can, he be a game changer, regardless of if you, you know, if you believe that or not. So, it, you know, it makes sense to, you know, allow him to play and let him start the season. And I believe I saw an article today where Darvish and Gurriel actually spoke. And, you know, they work things out. And, you know, I think this is one of the things where I believe it got overblown because of where we live, you know, because everything is, you know, some kind of racist involvement or anything like that. But you can't tell me that, you know, I know everybody my age as a little kid did that. You know, it was just, you know, it was kind of a, not even as a slur, just kind of, you know, it, you know, because we, I, you know, there weren't really many Asian people living in our area, or I don't think there were any at the time, but, you know, there were just little goofy things that kids sang or kids did. And, you know, I mean, obviously we were little kids, we didn't know any better, but, you know, it's just a different place now, and everybody is incredibly sensitive, and you have to watch what you say to everybody. Otherwise, you know, you're just kind of dead in the water with your, you know, with your life. So I don't know. I mean, was it that big a deal to you? I mean, did you really freak out about it like everybody else did?
Well, I think that's why Fox just didn't really show it. And that, you know, and then they got, I don't want to say they got hammered, but they definitely got the brunt end of it because they didn't make a big deal out of it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, he shouldn't have done it in the end of the day. But I think what everyone here in America forgets is that everyone that doesn't live in America, doesn't come from America, isn't born with the sensitive, isn't given the sensitivity training when they're born to their respective countries.
Yeah, you know, you got to realize, I mean, this is a guy who has lived in this country for exactly about, well, not maybe exactly, but about a year and a half. So, you know, he's probably not up to speed on all the, you know, the wonderful, fun stuff that, you know, we find offensive or, you know, that kind of thing. So, I, you know, again, it was completely wrong. I'm not going to sit here and try to defend him and say, you know, it was right or anything like that. No, he was completely in the wrong. You know, I'm not going that route. But, you know, I mean, just imagine if the camera wouldn't have been there, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
No. Well, and the other thing was, so, he was, spoke out and said he wanted to meet with you and say sorry, you know, whatever. And of course, you know, it made you become the biggest man in the country because he said no. I mean, but
yeah,
anyone in there, you know, what would change? What would be the outcome of it? I don't really. If I were you in that situation, I would have said no too, because it doesn't change anything. And you know, at the end of the day, let's be honest, I'm not gonna let that ruin the World Series for me. You know, I think you and the Dodgers want to win the World Series.
So my wife it definitely does, you know, it doesn't have an effect on how either guy played or, you know, anything like that. You know, it's just, you know, it's a very media-driven story because of, you know, how the country
NFL
is now. Right, you know. Yeah, and then, yeah. But yeah, basically. But yeah, you know, because you can't say, you know, boo to anybody without it being some kind of, you know, racial insult. So it's just kind of like, really, come on. We've got to learn how to get past some of these things. And, you know, it's just like, okay, you know, let's kind of move on. But all right, you know, obviously, I think I know where you stand. You wanna wrap up there?
Oh no, I was just gonna make some ass comments.
Well, that would have been fine. We need those. I haven't made one of those in quite a while. So
Yeah. No, I was just going to say, you know, if Hillary Clinton was elected president, racism and inequality would have been completely eradicated, and we wouldn't be dealing with this right now.
Yes. You mean it's not completely eradicated? Damn it. I must
no,
have
I mean,
all right, well.
I would have thought that would have went away with the Obama administration, but apparently it's
yeah.
only become stronger since the Trump came in. But regardless, speaking of that, I did want to touch on this real quick because I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Papa John's, which I've only had their pizza once, and I don't know if it's because we're from Chicago, but yeah, I've only had it once, and that was the only time I will ever have it. Maybe it's a hit out of this state. You know, we actually have one by our house for the first time I've seen one in my life. Well, second. But, you know, he's blaming the NFL, and I don't know if he flat out said Roger Goodell. You know, that is the founder, John, whatever his last name is, I forgot it already, for lost revenue because of not handling this situation properly.
Yeah,
I just want to get your thoughts on that. And have you tried their pizza?
No, you know, when I where I lived before I moved here, there wasn't one in my delivery area. So I was unable to try it, and I don't know where one is in my area now. So I've actually never had it. You know, it's one of those things I you know, like I always see the commercials and I'd be like, oh yeah, okay, I should try that. But yeah, I am clueless as to where their locations are in my area. And I oddly live by a main highway and there's, you know, I know there's not one in the general area. So no, I've been unable to try it. You know, in a way I can see his point because you would think, if you're upset, if you're really that upset about how the NFL players are protesting or the Colin Kaepernick thing or any of that other stuff, you're not only going to boycott the NFL, but you're going to boycott their sponsors, which would be Papa John's. And, you know, I'm sure they have a million other ones, you know, Coke, Pepsi, Bud Light, all those other things. I don't think it would be a big enough boycott to account to the losses he mentioned, because didn't I hear him say, or here you go, he said he was down 12%. You know,
well,
maybe it has more to do with the fact that the news came out that he donated $1,000 to Donald Trump's campaign. I don't know.
That's
yeah.
Boy, I mean,
so,
$1,000. What is that even? That's like all the pennies if everyone ordered a pizza for a month and just left the change. It's not even a contribution. What did he get? The Donald Trump book with that contribution?
Yeah.
I mean, while that
yes,
is a contribution, that's really, in the grand scheme of things, that's a contribution big time for, you know, someone like you or I. But for him, that's like that's not even a contribution. But I know he pointed out the fact that with the less viewers, you know, he and Peyton Manning, because I know Peyton Manning has a bunch of Papa John's stores, you know, they're selling out all that big bucks for all the advertising. So do you think that's where the losses come into it also?
Yeah, you know, you have to wonder, you know, how things are, or, you know, where things go, or, you know, I mean, you can, you know, add in so much, you know, people appear to be eating healthier. You know, I don't think you and I are those two people, but, you know, I mean, like, I don't, you know, I don't eat a ton of pizza. I really don't. You know, I cook for myself. You know, I mean, I don't know if I've ever mentioned it here, but my father was actually a chef. So, you know, I know how to cook. And, you know, it also doesn't hurt that, you know, I am kind of cheap when it comes to that stuff. You know, I don't eat out a lot. So, you know, there are, you know, so many factors. And, you know, Dan knows as an accounting major that goes into making your business profitable. you know, maybe it's over expansion. You know, it could be, you know, many, many things. And it's odd that they kind of pointed at Goodell, you know, it was his poor leadership. I don't think Goodell has really been a bad leader. I mean, you know, he's handled this pretty well. He's given the players a voice. And I just really don't know what else he can do. I mean, you know, he had to put out the stupid Bob McNair fire with the, you know, inmates running the prison type of deal, even though he, you know, I understood what he meant. And I believe I mentioned here that quote is said at my work multiple times a week and nobody freaks out about it. But, you know, it's just one of, you know, one of the things that kind of happen. I mean, again, you know, I mentioned about oversensitive America, and, you know, I think this is more the fact of a company who lost some money that's looking for somebody to blame. So, you know, here's the deal. You know, if you don't want to sponsor the NFL when your contract is over, don't sponsor the NFL. You know, there'll be somebody else right there to pick up the sponsorship you let go. You know, it really won't be that big a deal. Maybe they won't get as much money out of, you know, a new sponsor as they did out of you, but, you know, they'll definitely get a payday out of somebody. It's, you know, it's not like, you know, you want to say, okay, well, you know, well, the NFL ratings are down. Well, you know, the sad part is we don't know if they're really down because there are so many different ways to watch sporting events and stuff now that we really just don't know, you know, unless somebody can figure out a way to track, you know, who's watching online, who's watching, you know, through, I don't know, Hulu or YouTube or whoever else is showing the damn game. You know, I mean, there's no way to track, you know, like the NFL showed games on Twitter. There's no way to track how many people watch that game, regardless of what they tell you or what they try to tell you. There's just no way to do it. So, you know, hey, while they said, oh yeah, okay, cool, we had this many, you know, this many people, you know, they don't know, you know, it's just that simple. So, you know, I mean, it's a company that seems to be looking for somebody to blame. And, you know, when you're the CEO, you know, you've got to be that guy, because when your company does bad, you know, you're the guy they're looking to replace. So, you know, this guy could simply just be covering his rear end, right?
Yeah, well, and, you know, the main thing, if you when you read it, is he doesn't talk about himself and his money. He brings up the shareholders. Peyton Manning.
Yeah, well, of course.
You know, and I, like you said, there's no way to track it. I would think it would be easier to track the Facebook or the, maybe not so much the Twitter or the Facebook, but the Hulu and all that other streaming stuff than it would be to track Nielsen ratings, because that's pretty much an estimate. It's a bunch of bull crap. It's, you know, well, we tested 500 people, so that means out of 500 people, 400 watched. So, you know, what's that percentage? 4/5 of the country watched the game. So now he's magically made that 400 people into 400 million. And that, I know that's a way overestimate, but.
No, yeah, you know, and I mean, it, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, like if you DVR something, you know, that doesn't count in the ratings. So, you know, it's just one of those simple things where we just don't have the technology to track this stuff. So, you know, I mean, like, we have a general idea of who's watching what, but, you know, I think this is just more a guy who's, you know, he's looking for an excuse to blame his company's poor performance on. You know, and this is where it's going to go. He's going to point fingers here. Okay, hey, you know, this is why, And, you know, it's because they have poor leadership. And, you know, he's joining in with Jerry Jones, who believes that Roger Goodell needs to go because he's not helping the owners. So anytime you're on board with Jerry Jones, you know there's got a problem.
Well, I mean, let's be honest, though. Goodell has been controversial with his decisions going back to Ray Rice. So I know they've talked about his renewal not being up yet, but I really think it's time for a change. I mean, he's made his millions. What, you know?
Yeah, you know, and I mean, you wonder, I mean, you know, if Pizza Hut there, if Papa John's doesn't want to be the official pizza of the NFL, I'm sure, you know, Pizza Hut wouldn't mind. You know, I mean, there's going to be companies out there that are willing to take that mantle. You know, I mean, really at this point, is anybody paying attention to, you know, these protests anymore? I mean, nobody even knows what they're about.
No, I don't know how much of, you know, their market would make up with veterans and senior citizens, because I think those would be the ones that mostly, you know, my father-in-law boycotted the NFL, and now he's also boycotting the NBA because Steph Curry didn't want to go to the White House.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you know, it's just one of those things. I mean, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I'm not watching it because, okay, you know, that's kind of your choice. I don't know if it's, you know, a positive or a negative. I know I saw one of those goofs that used to help your cousin with the wrestling company post all the time about how I'm boycotting. Dude, I don't care. You know. You know, I mean, if you don't want to watch, cool, don't watch. If you want to watch, watch. I don't need your reasons. I'm going to watch the games because you and I are going to talk about them here. So I'm definitely going to need to see them. So, you know, it's just one of those things. But, you know, it's like, yeah, okay, great. So.
Yeah, I mean, protest aside, it's been hard to watch this year because of how bad the games have been.
Yeah, you know, I mean, maybe that's the bigger problem.
You know, if the Bears and Panthers, a noon game, you watch 3 hours of that crap, and then you, well, let me just stick and watch the rest of this field goal versus field goal game. I forgot who it was a Tennessee and someone else, and that was just horrible. Well, why the hell do I want to watch the 3:30 game? You know, not to mention, when I was a kid, the game started at noon, and the second game started at 3. And we didn't have this runover. So the NFL is, while everyone complains about Major League Baseball being too long, I mean, the NFL has really stretched out their timing. And maybe it's not just them. We know part of it is the TV, the Fox and CBS that all generate all their revenue. But, I mean, instead of showing all these long commercial breaks, because we know they're timed, they're part of they're included in the game. Why do you even really have to go away from the game? Why can't, you know, why Fox is introduced to the World Series with these quick word from the sponsor? But you can get an even, you know, a little bit of a longer quick word from the sponsor if you don't have the broadcaster telling us a quick word from the sponsor. Because guess what? It was only 15 seconds long. I can kind of guess that it's a quick word from your sponsor. You don't need a guy telling us every freaking time he does it. But, you know, with the NFL, I mean, think about if they weren't scheduled to go to commercial break after every punt and kick and just kind of did one of those things where they had a commercial going around, everyone walking back to set up. it would move along a lot quicker. And I feel like they've gotten their instant replay down a lot better. So it's a hell of a lot better than Major League Baseball, where you can pretty much instant replay. You could check your instant replay before you throw, step on, call for your instant replay. Where the NFL, you don't get that chance. You either throw the flag or you don't. And they've got it down pretty quickly. But again, their game still, I think, takes too long. Should be start at noon and be done at 3:15 if they go into overtime.
Yeah. Well, I think in reality at this point, I think every game takes too long. I mean, we know how long the last couple minutes of a close NBA game takes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only exception could be hockey, because their game, transmits a little better. But, even like, NASCAR now, and I know it's not one of the biggest sports, but if there's a late wreck, instead of letting the guys drive around in the on the yellow flag and knock off some laps, they red flag the race and stop it so they don't lose those laps and they can get more racing laps in. Which is probably better for the viewer, but, it stretches out the race. And, of course, it does allow them to get more sponsors in. So, it's the way it is now. I mean, the sports writers or, the guys covering the game can complain about it being too long all you want. They can talk about speeding up the game all they want. But as long as you're taking advertisers' money, it's not going to speed up. There's just no way to do it because you've got to get these commercials in, look at the Mickey Mouse Network. What they paid to televise the NBA was embarrassing. And now, they've got to make up that money. I mean, it just cost how many people their jobs here a few months ago, and now they're talking more layoffs, so they're eating it with that stupid contract move. So they've got to sell as much advertising as they can and slash as many jobs as they can. Sadly, it's the way the world works. There's always that lovely chance of, being downsized. They're apparently working on where I work to fully automate everything, which of course would put quite a few people out of work. I don't know if they'll ever be able to accomplish it because of the way we do things, but they're working on it. So,
well, I'm still waiting to order my stuff from Amazon and have a drone drop it off at my front door, but that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, I think you live in too populated of an area. I believe I saw they were only using the drone for, the certain things. Like they do have a drone at my work as well for certain deliveries, but it has to be what they consider rural.
Oh.
So, just one of those, one of those fun, fun situations, so. Yeah, because that's what I was kind of hoping. You'd send me something and a drone would just show up on my balcony and drop it off. But it just hasn't happened. So, I just don't think it ever will. Maybe, maybe one of these days. But, I can keep hoping. So, we shall see. But, because, we talked about baseball. They're going to institute the pitch clock and – like they did the walk this year. Did the automatic walk really speed up the games for you?
No. It didn't.
So
it didn't really do anything. I mean, because
right.
They still take their time getting in and out of the box.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really matter.
Yeah, it's one of those odd situations where, the guy walks. Well, now he's got to take off his armor, because everybody's wearing an ankle pad or an elbow guard or, whatever. And it's like, okay, so he's got to get undressed. And then by the time, the guy could have thrown four pitches already. So, but yeah, it's just one of those things. And I mean, I give baseball, at least baseball is trying you know, I mean, like, I don't think football cares either. You know, you're going to watch us for 3.5 hours or you're not. And, you know, in the case of the Super Bowl, it's four, you know, because that's stretched out between the halftime performances and, you know, the extra commercials and stuff. So, you know, I guess we'll just kind of see, right?
Yeah, they, you know, copying the WWE, four or five hour WrestleMania, you got to do 4 hour Super Bowl.
You know, and, you know, to be fair, you know, if it's a good game, I don't care. I don't even notice the time, but, you know, like you said, we had to sit through that just embarrassment of a Bears game, and then when they went to bonus coverage, it was Cleveland and Tennessee in a 9-9 game that was going into overtime. And it's like, okay, great, I get it. You're sending us to another game because it's going into overtime, but this game sucks. So it was just kind of like, really? This is where you're going to ship us off to? You know, I mean.
At that point, they were better off putting on fantasy football experts and kind of breaking down the first half of the day.
Right. I'm sure, you know, like last week, everybody would have loved to jump in on the Seattle, you know, the Seattle Seahawks Houston Texan game. That was an exciting game. But yeah, we got 2 weeks ago, Cleveland and Tennessee, and nobody scored a touchdown. Yeah, that's exactly what I want to watch. So, like, hey, thanks, guys. That, of course, you know, that wasn't the NFL's decision. That was the network cover, and it was CBS. That's the game they decided to break into, and it was like, hey, okay, really? Didn't have anything else to do, huh? So,
nope.
You know, it's like, thank you. I just can't believe you decided this was the best choice for America to be seeing right now. But, you know, what can you do? I'm trying to think. I don't think I watched it. I think I went away and just did something else and got the final score later because it was just like, yeah, okay, why am I even here?
Yeah, no, I was at our scores and picks, so I just guessed.
Yeah. You know, that's all. Yeah, that was that game where, you know, that was one of those games where I was thinking, well, you know, we all took Tennessee, so they're probably going to lose this game. But, yeah, they, you know, they managed to actually win it with a field goal in overtime. Yeah, I'm excited about that. You know, that's what I want to see there is a game-winning overtime field goal. But, hey, at least I got the damn pick right. You know, that hasn't happened too much this year, so I got to take it when I can get it. So I will celebrate that as a win. Yay, win. Oh. But we've been rolling. I'm interested to see if your picks keep rolling this week. You've been really good the last couple of weeks. So I'm waiting for you to get your picks in. Do it. So. Oh, all right. The music means it's time for Dan and I to take off. We got to get ready to watch the World Series. So we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30 to talk about that. You know the deal while we're gone, though. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Don't forget the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well. We'll always get back to you. Now, big thanks for listening to the podcast live. We appreciate when you do that. But don't forget, you can find it anytime you want over at tunein.com.